It's the Las Vegas Sports Line, presented by CG Technology Sportsbook.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Presented by WagerTalk.com.
Here we go. It is the Thursday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. I'm Dave Cook and Ari Platinum back on the other side of the console. Ralph Michaels is here from WagerTalk. It is our CG Sportsbooks Thursday. Jason Symbol will be joining us with loads of behind-the-counter info later on as we go through all the big games this weekend, plus the baseball, plus some other stuff as well. Let's first touch on what took place yesterday in the Diamond, Ralph. Major controversy in the game between the Red Sox and the Astros. It was right away in the first inning. An apparent home run by Jose Altuve ruled on the field as fan interference, and that call upheld by the replay. Thoughts?
What's your thought?
Okay, as a Red Sox fan, yeah. Great call. As an impartial observer, they got it wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. The rule is if the fan reaches over, it's interference automatically.
Yep.
If the player reaches over, it's ump's discretion.
To me, if the player reaches over, the ball's fair game.
I agree with you.
The player has no more right to the baseball that's over the wall than fans sitting there do.
And, when you see it, the glove was closed. It didn't even look like he was going to catch it anyway.
And it was over the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, they got it wrong. I'll tell you who got it right. Pedro Martinez. Pedro, I'll put a little asterisk on this. I really didn't get to see much of Sandy Koufax. I might have seen him a few times back in the 60s. I was just a kid. And obviously there weren't a lot of games on TV back then, so I probably saw him in the World Series, and I don't really remember it. In terms of what I remember, Pedro Martinez is the best pitcher I've ever seen in his prime. The best.
Yeah.
He's quickly becoming the best analyst on the air in baseball. Pedro's biased, okay? He's clearly a Red Sox guy. He's even referred to them as we a few times. But he nailed it on this call last night. And where he nailed it was something that doesn't just apply to this call, but to the replay system in general. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I thought he absolutely nailed it by saying, in essence, he doesn't like the fact that other umpires are making the replay calls because there's an umpire brotherhood and they protect their own, whether intentionally or not. And I thought that was clearly the case last night. To me, it doesn't really matter whether Joe West got it right or wrong in the field. Replay had a chance to go over this play, look at it from every angle. And when you do that, and again, I'm not speaking as the Red Sox fan here, but as just someone who is non-biased, that's a home run. Okay, that was a two-run homer. And the Astros got robbed. That's my opinion.
How about this setup? Like you said, I agree with having impartial baseball people there that know the rules. How about three people looking at all the videos independently, all three have to hit, keep the player, overturn it. If it's unanimous, you're set. If not, it stays. Football as well.
But no umpires.
Right, I agree with that.
I'm sorry. Impartial, get some other people in charge.
Impartial baseball people.
Yes.
Yes. Same with football. Three people independently, all hit it. If they're all three the same vote, it gets overturned.
Yeah, and in particular, when it's a guy like Joe West, who's one of the senior umpires, he's the crew chief, and, West is one of the,
the veteran guy, isn't he?
I think he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's a guy I think they're going to be ultra reluctant to overturn.
He's probably their boss in some way.
Well, really, yeah. I thought it was wrong. The game itself was fantastic. Craig Kimbrell somehow holds on for the save. Great play by Andrew Benintendi. He got the save in the game, not Kimbrell. It was Benintendi. Because if he doesn't make that catch, Houston wins the baseball game, and it's a 2-2 series. If you're an Astros fan, this is a really tough game to swallow.
Credit to the two teams, because it's very rare that you have 4.5-hour games and that many people are still paying attention at the end of the game because it was such a good game.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
The earlier game, Clayton Kershaw was really sharp. Kershaw was brilliant for the Dodgers. They come back from an early deficit, get the 5-2 win over the Brewers, and now they head back to Milwaukee with the Dodgers leading 3-2. Milwaukee has been a terrific home team, and I don't think they're just going to go away. I also think they have an advantage in Game 6 because the bullpen will once again be rested. And I think that's been a factor. Let's face it, Milwaukee's done well in this series when rested, not as well when not rested. But Kershaw was brilliant yesterday, and the Dodgers accomplished what they had to.
Yeah, credit to them. You know, it's I used to live in California, and I know those 5 o'clock start times are tough. I bet under the first five innings, you have that pitcher in, and Kershaw knows how to handle those 5 o'clock rolls in those playoff situations. It's a different game with that start time in L.A.
No question about that. Time for us to look at the Thursday action, and it is all Thursday action on this edition of the MJ Christensen 4 at 4.
1, 2, 3 into the four.
Put the fours up. Put the fours up, I said. Do it right now.
Tonight's action is just around the bend, and the guys want to get your night off to a great start.
4.
It's the Las Vegas Sports Lines. 4 at 4.
Not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4.
Unbelievable.
All right, here we go. Started off with a really lousy football game tonight. Well, who knows? It could be a good game. But the two teams, they're lousy. The Broncos and Cardinals. Money's been showing on the Arizona Cardinals. I think there's every reason to understand why that's the case. None of it's mine. I didn't play Denver, Ralph. But I just can't bring myself to play the Cardinals, even though situationally and with all the Denver issues, I think Arizona's the right side. I just don't want to bet the Cardinals, who I don't trust because they can't mount any offense.
You know, Dave, we talked off air before the studio. How many times are you 6 weeks into an NFL season and your best performance is 269 yards? They're averaging 221 yards and 13 first downs. But on the flip side, you have a Denver team that's 1-11 straight up in ATS on the road. And you already went to the New York Jets and lost 34-16.
Well, they look like a team that might... Well, I'm not there, but they certainly look like a team that might have some internal issues right now.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you had the backdoor cover against the Rams, but again, a backdoor cover. The Rams are playing totally different on the second back-to-back road game. So, you know, as we said, what's the worst of all evils? I don't know. My top lean on the game would actually be the under, even though it's low at 42.
Sun Belt action tonight, or the Fun Belt, as some like to call it, Georgia State and Arkansas State. And what we're seeing so far, when the Sun Belt gets national TV exposure, as they will have tonight, is that the underdogs really come to play. It's kind of like their bowl games. That might bode well for Georgia State tonight, which is starting to show a little bit of improvement. Arkansas State's clearly a superior team. Doesn't mean they're going to cover this big number.
Excuse me. Well, you look at Arkansas State, and a lot of times people look at what did they do last week. Well, they got crushed against Appalachian State 95-3.
Appalachian State's so much better, though.
Appalachian State is number 3 in the country in yards per game diff. I mean, they have dominated their foes.
I think speaking of App State, they did lose their running back for the season, their best running back. That's going to hurt them. But they've performed at a top 25 level this year. Forget about what conference they're in. They're that good.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back and remember. They went to Penn State, and they outgained Penn State.
Lost it
and
overtime.
Easily could have won that game. So they are that good of a team. We talked about if you're comparing App State, you probably could put them in the Mountain West, and they might challenge Fresno State. So, again, moving to this game, though, I'm a fan of Arkansas State. They're still one of the best teams in the Sun Belt, despite getting beat against App State and my surprise team, Georgia Southern. To me, I would still lean with the favorite at home off that embarrassing home loss on national TV.
Stanford taking on Arizona State. So let's talk a little Stanford football here. They're off two really big blowout losses to Notre Dame and Utah. You go back to the third game back, and that was the game where Oregon, for reasons still unknown, decided not to kneel out the clock and blew the football game with a fumble. So Stanford could have 3 losses in a row. Their earlier wins, San Diego State, USC, okay wins, but I wouldn't say that they were spectacular. Love will be back in the lineup for Stanford tonight, but who knows how healthy he is. This could be deja vu in a way, because we saw last year, even when he got back from the injuries, he was not the same running back that he had been prior to that. I think Stanford's just an overrated football team. Arizona State, meanwhile, has done one thing exceedingly well this season, and that's protect the football. They've only turned the ball over twice. One fumble, one interception. Quarterback Wilkins is nursing a bit of a sore knee, but he's going to play. I'm not even sure what the injury to Harry is, but he's going to play as well. Great wide receiver. He'll be in the NFL soon. I think Stanford's being favored on reputation more than reality here.
You know, I was just going to say that exact same thing. You have a Stanford team that's getting outgained by 46 yards per game. Arizona State on the flip side is plus 31 yards per game. That's a 77 yard per game diff. You have Stanford, again, off those losses. They're not the same team. They're rushing for 4.3 yards per carry this year. Bryce Love is just over 4 yards per carry. I think the Sun Devils win it at home, and another big night home dog game win for them.
And in the NBA, a lot of excitement about this one because it is the debut for LeBron James as a Los Angeles Laker. They're in action at a location where they've had some problems over the years against Portland and the Trailblazers. An exciting opening night for those two teams' matchup.
I think the line's very cheap here. Portland last year at the end of the year against the Lakers, they were a 2-point favorite at L.A. I learned a lot from LeBron watching how he starts the season. He doesn't care about wins. He just wants to teach kids. He teaches kids offense first and then defense second. You're playing with a whole new... I think you're going to have a lot of value playing against the Lakers in November.
Jason Symbol, you can follow him on Twitter, at JSymbol. With CG Sportsbooks, they do a tremendous job of not only putting together some of the best places to watch sports in Las Vegas, but lots of betting action. Great mobile app. Jason with us right now to go behind the counter on a lot of games this week. How are you, Jason?
I am good. Hanging in there. How are you guys?
Well, you know, I'm happy because the Red Sox are up 3-1. And they'll try and close it out tonight against the Astros, but David Price warmed up a lot in the bullpen last night. He's still going to start. And, of course, his playoff resume, not the best. Justin Verlander, the opposite. So Boston's won 3 in a row, but the bettors seem to be on the Astros.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, not totally surprising here considering what Verlander's done in the playoffs as of late. 190 favorite for the Astros. What we've seen, though, is kind of they're betting both dogs, if you will. So they're taking the Red Sox on the money line at plus 170, but they're also, anybody who wants the Astros, instead of laying the big chalk with Verlander, they're taking plus 110 and laying a run and a half. So, you know, it seems like kind of from the bets here that you know, maybe you might not want to hear it, Dave, but it seems like the Astros look to be the right side so far in this one.
Well, they probably are. You know, that's...
I got the feeling that Cora kind of realized that. That's why he went all out yesterday.
Yeah.
Doesn't totally mind conceding this one and going back to Boston with a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, this is a gravy train game for them. If they happen to win it, great. And if not, they're still up 3-2
going back. Yeah, Sale on 5 days rest, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, coming
right
back. So, you know, Jason, moving to the NBA tonight and the LeBron effect takes in place. Before we talk about the Lakers and the Blazers, you know, we got a great Thursday night card. Baseball, NFL, college football, and LeBron. What's the highest grossing game? Obviously the NFL, but what's the second biggest grossing game?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being the baseball. I really do. But it is possible that the LeBron game passes it. The only reason I think it's going to be the baseball is because as of now, that's trending a little bit higher, but I know that the Laker game has a little bit of a later start time, so it's certainly possible that in the 2.5 hours, basically, between when the baseball starts and the LeBron game begins, we'll exceed it in handle. But I think it's going to be really close. It's going to be a fun night for sure.
And are people loving the new Lakers team and betting them here, like the season win totals, or is there a little reality with the Blazers?
The public loves LeBron plus 130 on the money line. They're basically betting them to win outright. We're going to need the Blazers to win this one, even if it's by one or two. I don't think it's going to matter because all of the bets, at least on our end, are on the money line. In fact, you know, Blazers 3-point favorite. We've taken more money on the Lakers money line than on the spread either way altogether. Yeah. So this is going to be a game where we're going to be rooting for the Blazers for sure.
Let's check out the football action. We'll go through the whole weekend, but we'll start with tonight and the Broncos-Cardinals. Not an attractive Thursday night matchup, but it's still Thursday night football, and people are going to bet it.
Yeah, they are. Look, it's not a great matchup, but it's at least a close one, right? So you figure this to be a close game. We have a 1-point spread. Broncos are a 1-point favorite. This is pretty much another pros versus Joes matchup where the ticket count is really on favor of Denver to the tune of 76%, but 52% of the money on Arizona. We did take a decent-sized bet on the Cardinals, a five-figure bet on the Cardinals today at plus one, which is still the price now. So, you know, fans think the Broncos can get there. Some of the sharps are on the Cardinals. One thing to note is that the really big discrepancy in the total, the over is being played. We just went from 42 to 42.5 about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago. The ticket count on the over was really lopsided.
One game that doesn't have a close line is the Sun Belt game, and, you know, I don't know how much action you're getting on that. Arkansas State, a two-touchdown favorite. What has the public done?
Yeah, not a ton of action on this. We did, as soon as we opened the game, we opened Arkansas State -14.5. Did take a bet from a sharp player and on the dog, Georgia State. Moved it to 14, and really, to be honest, not much since then.
Well, let's look at Stanford-Arizona State, which among the college football games is tonight's main event. Pretty good matchup in the Pac-12. We just talked about this one, and I'm one who believes Arizona State actually is the rightful favorite in this game. What do the bettors think?
Yeah, so far Arizona State's gotten the majority of the bets, but they're doing it on the money line, which makes sense kind of with what you said, Dave, because if you think that they should be the favorite and you're getting +112, which is what the money line is now, you might as well take it. We did take a couple of bets, though. We got kind of lucky here because we took a couple of bets of people laying 2.5 with Stanford, and I think they did it figuring the line would go to 3, but it actually went the other way. So we're sitting pretty good on the spread. But I think by the time the game kicks, we'll be rooting for the Cardinal.
Well, Max Gillum's making his third start for UNLV, and Lexington Thomas banged up. Air Force lost their starting quarterback, but it didn't matter in their system. They kept playing the way they did. Are people believing UNLV can bounce back now, or is Air Force the prohibitive favorite ticket-wise?
Yeah, people are thinking UNLV can bounce back. Maybe you guys can explain it to me, but this game opened 12.5. Obviously, Air Force -12.5 got bet down to 12, and then it got bet down all the way to 10. So the number now is you know, Air Force -10. So look, still a double digit favorite, but the early action on the running Rebels. You know, maybe you guys can figure that one out.
No, it's easy. You know our history on these rare national TV games. They usually get 50,000 crammed into a 40,000 seat stadium, and they're crazy. Oh, wait a minute, that's not us. No. I don't know. I maybe UNLV is a home dog can do something, but this is not your typical setup, Jason, where you get the big crowd really pumped up for the big TV game. That never happens for the Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, usually when they're on these kind of big dogs, and the move comes on the dog right away, you can kind of understand why, right? Like, you know, we'll get to some of those games later. You can kind of figure why they're on it. This one, I just can't figure it out.
Well, here's an example of one that you can figure that out on because it's a big rivalry game. Michigan State's off a terrific win, and they're now home dogs against Michigan. Underdog history in this series. What do the bettors think?
Yeah, this one is going to be a fun because they're going to lay with Michigan. Michigan's going to be the public side, but the sharp customers are licking their chops because they really want to take 7.5. I think that this one's going to end up staying at 7 because from what we've seen so far, I know that the public will pound Michigan, and especially if it goes to 6.5. And the sharps are really excited to take 7.5 with Michigan State. So we're going to have to leave this one at 7. And if we end up with a decision one way or another, we're going to have to deal with it because we don't really want to move off that number.
I know the other teams in the Big Ten hate Ohio State, and our friend from Michigan asked me this question. Why in the heck is Ohio State the primetime game and Michigan State is the noon game? It shows you how much pool Ohio State has. Mm-hmm. They go to Purdue. They're a two-touchdown favorite.
Ohio State. I think that line's been coming down.
It came down a little bit. I'll tell you what. I think Nick Bosa leaving school is a big effect on this defense. They're very bothered that he actually did that. And I actually favor Purdue here. What does the money say?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if Purdue can win this game, but I expect this to be a lot closer than people might think. And reason being is kind of because of what the action is. And this is what I was talking about before. You can see why the sharps would be on Purdue here. They've scored 30 points in each of their last, I think it's 5 or 6 games. They scored 40 points each of the last 2 games. So they've been offensively really, really good. Number here opened 14. They took 14. So we went to Purdue +14 -120, and they even took that. So they were willing to lay -120 to take the 14, which is not something you typically see the sharps do. We went down to 13, which is where it is now. But the reason I say Purdue might be live in this one is because we've had a couple of our respected bettors actually play Purdue on the money line at +380. So I'm not saying they can win this game, but kind of based on the action I've seen, I would expect this one to be a little bit closer than Ohio State fans might like.
We talked extensively about this next game yesterday and the fact that one thing I do really well, not to blow my own horn, but I will on this. I'm usually really good at assessing where the lines are going to go. And I got this one completely wrong. I thought Oregon would come in, despite the fact that they have a bad history against Washington State. I thought Oregon would still get the public money with the line being where it is. I don't know whether it's all sharp money or not, but there's no question about the sharps being on Washington State in this matchup.
Yeah, it's kind of both. I agree. I figured, you know, Oregon coming off a bunch of, you know, national TV games where they've looked pretty good. Big win over Washington, and everybody watched the Stanford game where, you know, on paper they didn't win, but, you know, in actuality they dominated. So, in this one, Washington State, though, is now up to a 3-point favorite. We have sharp bets, lay 1, 1.5, and 2.5, but at 3, we did take a couple bets on Oregon. I think this one will end up settling in somewhere like Washington State minus 2.5, and I think we'll likely end up needing Oregon, believe it or not.
Well, we know the Sharps. We compared them to the Browns last year. I've been on Nebraska week after week after week. Well, have they finally jumped off after what Scott Frost did last week at Northwestern and with Minnesota looking good at Ohio State?
Yeah, they finally jumped off, and I think the main reason they jumped off is a combination of what you said, where Nebraska actually looked pretty good last week, and the number has now been adjusted. So, you know, I thought that this line was going to come like pick Nebraska minus one, and I was way off with my estimate. The number came minus 4, so those Sharps are not taking Nebraska, obviously, because it's a bit too high of a number, but they're not taking Minnesota either. So we've had some fans take the plus 4 with Minnesota, but it's been kind of a stay away because I think finally the line adjustment came on Nebraska, and it came a little bit more heavy than I think some of the Sharps were hoping for.
TCU has not looked good recently, and what is that doing as far as the betting's concerned as they play host to Oklahoma, with the Sooners also having a few issues?
Yeah, they're all over Oklahoma despite some issues there, and you can see that one too with TCU mightily struggling. Game opened with Oklahoma minus 7.5. We were toggling between like 7.5, 8, and then we actually took a pretty big bet from a casino customer. He laid 8 at our limit, which is a lot higher for a casino customer than anybody else. So we actually have a pretty decent sized decision in this one. So he laid 8, went to 8.5, which is where it is now. But, you know, because TCU's play the last few weeks, I feel like this might be one of our biggest needs of the day.
Well, Clemson's played with a bullseye on their back the last few years. NC State has kept the last two close, losing by 7 and going into overtime. They're getting 2 touchdowns as a 5-0 team.
A lot more than that now.
Yeah, are public backing them?
Public is actually backing Clemson, believe it or not. I guess you figure it might be a bit too high of a number. I figured with a number this high, the public would say, you know what, I'm shying away from Clemson, maybe even take the dog. Not the case. Open 17, quickly had to move it to 17.5 because of the Clemson money.
Auburn and Ole Miss is, to me, a fascinating game because we know Ole Miss has had some problems this year, but they seem to be putting some of them behind them. And now it's Auburn that's the team that's got some problems. I would not imagine that Auburn's real popular with the bettors right now.
No, I don't think this game's going to be that popular because, you know, as you mentioned, Mississippi looked okay the last week. You know, they beat Arkansas on the road last week, and then I think the week before that they played one of the Louisiana directional teams and they killed them. So they really have been okay the last few weeks. At Auburn, we saw what happened last week at Tennessee, but, you know, we did take a sharp bet laying 3.5 on Auburn to take it to minus 4, which is where it is now. But in terms of public support, this seems to be a stay away, and I can understand why. You don't really know what to make of this one.
Well, all this offense talk, and then we get to Mississippi State. 36 points scored in 3 games. They're happy to be 1-2, only allowing 22 points their last 2 games, but they're 1-1. Now they face an LSU team that has burned me a few times with big wins over Georgia and Auburn. Can they knock off another team and look ahead to Alabama, who they have on deck?
Yeah, I mean, talk about defenses. All these games that we've talked about before are in the, you know, high 50s, 60s, and we come here with a total of 45. So, game opened 7, LSU minus 7, and we took a bet on Mississippi State plus the 7 right away and went to 6.5, and I actually see some 6s out there. We're at 6.5 now, but there are some 6s out there, so this line should probably creep down towards Mississippi State. Seems like people are kind of off LSU here pretty quickly after last week.
And Jason, a main event on the West Coast, USC, not on the West Coast, it's in Utah actually, but it's the Pac-12. USC at Utah, the Utes have suddenly gotten hot, and they're getting respect from the betting public as well.
Yeah, this is a fun game because, you know, when I first saw this number, I figured it was a little high. I thought, you know, maybe this would come out at like 5-6. But when you run your numbers, you figure Utah actually is probably maybe 8.5 points better because that home field advantage in Utah is so good. So this one opened at 7. We were at 6.5 for a bit, but as soon as we went to 6.5, immediately they bet Utah. So I think the public might take the dog here, USC coming off of, you know, a few good weeks in a row. And I think Utah might be a good side to play because you're getting value on a favorite as minus 7 at home.
For our fans listening, USC is undefeated at home under Clay Helton, but they are 1-11 ATS as a dog.
Yeah, and of course, going to Utah is never an easy game. That's for sure.
No, it sure isn't. Any other games you want to touch on? And how about some props of interest right now that are available to bettors?
Yeah, I think the only other game worth mentioning is what's going on with UCLA, because obviously the last few weeks, specifically last week, they've looked, pretty good, a lot better. They're hosting Arizona this week, and this line opened at 6, and it's all the way up to 10. We took sharp bets all the way up the ladder, 6, 6.5, 7, 8, and 9. So UCLA seems to be heading in the right direction under Chip Kelly, that's for sure.
Don't forget, any games you like, you can bet them any place in the state of Nevada when you've got the CG app on your phone. Also, a great way to get involved with the props that are out there.
Yeah, one thing to mention on tonight's NFL game, because admittedly it's not the most fun game to watch, you might as well bet some props on it. So we do have a prop sheet out if you want to stop by one of our books and bet it. For some reason, we took a couple decent bets on Larry Fitzgerald to score the first touchdown. Huh. Don't know if that's going to happen, but maybe it will. We'll see.
With these two teams playing, you could make that the only touchdown, and it might be a winner.
Yeah, I figure in this one, you take the field and figure some defensive guy will score.
There you go. Jason, it's always a pleasure, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Jason Symbol. Follow him on Twitter at jsymbol. Good information. If you like that behind-the-counter information on as to who's betting what, whether it's sharp money, square money, this segment that we do every Wednesday with Jason is one you definitely want to bookmark. It's definitely worthwhile. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get you our Joe's Angle of the Day. And then we'll go into some college and NFL preview action.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
Joe's has been with us basically since the start of the show. A great sponsor, and we love having him on, because it is just an absolutely phenomenal restaurant. It's as good as it gets. To me, when I've got visitors coming to Las Vegas and they ask me where's a good place to eat, Joe's. Get to Joe's.
Are you hosting a Red Sox clinching party for the World Series if they win at Joe's?
No. No, I'm not.
I can't ever get a meal out of Dave.
No. But go and buy your own meal, okay? I mean, it's well worth it. It's just a phenomenal place. No, I'm not hosting anything. You're the wrong sex, okay? I'm going to host something. It's not going to involve you. Enough of that. Anyway, make a reservation, 702-792-9222, Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. And we go to the angle of the day.
You know, two quick angles, both college football. Alabama, we know they get out to big leads. If you bet Alabama this year on the first half and played against them in the second half, you're 13-1 against the spread.
Not bad, huh?
UAB had a couple years to get a new program built up after they lost their program. Since they started football again last year, they're 9-0 straight up, 8-0-1 ATS at home.
I think they've got a tough game this weekend. That's
North Texas is going to be a heck of a game.
One of the best games on the schedule this weekend. I'm not saying that I think either side is a good bet, but what I am saying is that if you want a good under-the-radar game to watch this week, this is an important matchup in CUSA for North Texas and UAB. So let's go to always try and line up games that from Ralph's area, because he really knows these teams inside and out. So we're going to look at Ohio State, Purdue, and we're going to look at the Browns and Bucks here. And let's start with the college football matchup. We talked about this one with Jason Symbol. There's some sharp money showing on Purdue, and as you alluded to, the news involving Little Bosa.
Nick,
this is big, and it could have an impact on the team, not just as his position, but maybe in the clubhouse altogether.
Well, there was a couple D-lines that actually had tweeted to him, hey, I thought you were staying, and that was their response. He didn't let anyone know. He could have handled it much differently and gotten the players out of involved, but this is an Ohio State team, and I'm not comparing Purdue to TCU or Penn State, but they've played two games away from home. They allowed 511 yards at TCU. They allowed 492 yards at Penn State.
But they weren't exactly lights out last week against Minnesota either.
397 yards. They allowed 457 yards their last three games. Now, Purdue went through a couple-week stretch early in the year where they had David Blau and Sindelar, and they were switching quarterbacks, and that was a disaster. Blau is now under control. He's got a 10-2 ratio. And you look, they're probably the best 3-3 team out there. They lost by total of 7 points to Northwestern Missouri and Eastern Michigan. And one telling sign I think Purdue's making the turn, Purdue came into this year 4-19 as a home dog. They're 2-0 as a home dog this year, and I think they moved to 3-0.
Wow, okay. Is this the are you going to do anything with the money line in the game? Do you think Purdue can beat them outright?
You know, I didn't, but just, you know, through our past segment with Jason, it really wouldn't surprise me. So if you're a handicapper or you're a follower of these teams, and it wouldn't really surprise you if a 14-point favorite loses, then I guess it is time to sprinkle something on the money line.
Yeah, they're living dangerously. I'm not going to say they should have lost to Penn State, but they certainly could have. TCU gave them a good battle, and the thing is, the Minnesota, this is an even game at the half. And there was a point, I think, in the fourth quarter where the Gophers had a real shot to get it down to 2. And they didn't do it, and it ended up being 16. But that was a misleading final. If you watched the game, you know how competitive it was. If you just looked at the score, well, you say, oh, Ohio State took care of business. I don't think they really did. I'm not trying to make a huge case for Purdue because I played 10 games this week, and they're not one of them. But it's certainly on the list, on the lean list for me. It's the only way I could play is the Boilermakers.
Well, to tell you how close it was 17-14 at the half.
Last week.
Minnesota gets outscored 13-0 in the second half, but Minnesota was minus 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
So you're playing Ohio State that close. You turn the ball over 3 times, you're going to lose the game.
I thought they were going to score on one of those drives where they did commit a turnover, and who knows what would have happened had Minnesota gotten in the end zone in that particular series. All right, moving to the NFL, the Browns have improved this season. There's no question about that. But the old Browns showed up last week. I mean, they were terrible against the Chargers. I think they were in a really bad flat spot, and it got them. Sometimes it just happens that way. But Mayfield had a game where he really looked like a rookie. And the defense, which has been so good, was just torn apart by Philip Rivers and company last week. Just a bad game, or is it a sign of things to come? They go in and face the Bucs, who I thought battled back nicely last week against Atlanta, but you have to put kind of an asterisk next to that, because who doesn't battle back against Atlanta and that pathetic Falcons defense? A coaching change in Tampa this week. Mike Smith, the former Falcons head coach, had been the defensive guy with Tampa. They weren't stopping anybody, and Mike Smith is out of town. Sometimes that can shake up a team. I haven't done anything with this game yet. Are you looking at it?
I am, and I think Tampa Bay very well may be on my card. Replacing Mike Smith is the linebacker coach, so they didn't bring in from outside during a season. They just promoted someone in. But I agree with you, it can get you a shakeup. And you look at the Browns defense that was so good early. You know, there was new techniques and new styles, and people didn't know what to look on film. Last 3 weeks, Oakland 565 yards, Baltimore 410, the LA Chargers 449. And you look at Baker Mayfield now, 55%, a 4-5 ratio. He's been sacked 26 times, including 5 each in the last 2 games. The Browns have played 3 overtime games already. That has to wear them out. Now they're going back on the road after back-to-back home games. Tampa Bay finally at home after back-to-back road games. I will be on Tampa Bay, and it will most likely be one of my plays on my card at Wager Talk for Sunday.
It's also getting to be an interesting situation in Tampa as far as Dirk Cutter's concerned, because once one assistant goes, there's generally more stuff down the road. Cutter's in trouble. I think his job security is probably, if it's not the worst in the NFL, it's pretty damn close. And I'm not going to say it's a must-win game for Tampa, but it's getting close to that for Cutter if he wants to keep his job.
Yeah, when you get those wins are important. And, you know, if you're 1-4 now, and excuse me, they're 2-3, if they go to 2-4, 2-5, 2-6, that's a different situation. If they win, couple get back to 500, then it affords them 4 or 5 more weeks to find in that situation. But, you know, Fitzpatrick's shown he can be the quarterback.
Well, 500. I mean, Winston's playing.
I'm sorry, Winston. My apologies. I completely misspoke. Obviously, Winston back. Winston's proven he could be that quarterback, completing 75% since he's been back. You know, DeSean Jackson, 23 yards per carry, 501 yards already. He's really become that go-to number one.
Yeah, too bad they didn't get him to pitch accurately at the end of the game last week.
That was close.
It was a really well-designed play. And they just kind of botched it a little bit. He just scored. They'd have won the football game.
You're so used to seeing them throwing around the 20 or 30 to get there, to make that run and get to the 8, and everyone collapsing in on them as you get in that red zone, deep in the red zone. It was a very, very well play.
Got a couple of extra minutes before we get to the break. Any other games you want to take a peek at this week, Ralph?
You know, I like a game. We talked about it earlier, where we talked about being a false favorite. And to me, my situational play of the week was Washington State and Oregon. I look at Oregon and what they've done on the road. This Washington State, a lot of times you could say, well, the team has revenge. But at a certain point, like Washington State, they've covered 8 straight against Oregon by 17 points per game. These aren't close. They have owned them. They've won the last 3 games straight up, 2 of them as dogs, by over 20 points per game. I think you have that game day experience there. These people are thrilled for game day. This isn't Tuscaloosa where they have game day every year.
Pullman is not the usual locale.
It is going to be absolutely crazy. And I do like Washington State in this game.
Something else that I guess we can throw into the mix is this is only the second road game all season for Oregon. The only prior road game was at California. If you look at the final score, well, Ducks took care of business, 42-24. If you watch the game, California had a couple of critical turnovers in the second half. They also got stopped on downs at the Oregon 1-yard line. This was a game that was much closer than the final score indicated. So Oregon's one road game, only one, prior to this was not great. And they're coming out of an absolutely huge overtime win that maybe they didn't even expect, because if Washington makes the field goal at the end of regulation, that's it. The game's over. Instead, Oregon wins it in overtime. And make no mistake, I know Oregon-Oregon State is a huge rivalry, the Civil War, etc. But I think from a football standpoint, Oregon-Washington's a bigger rivalry for Oregon, because Washington's a more of a challenge. That's a bigger game. Oregon always figures that they're going to beat Oregon State. I think that's a bigger rivalry, in my opinion. And I'm an outsider.
I completely agree with that.
That's a bigger rivalry for Oregon State than it is for Oregon. So this could be a little bit of a dead spot for the Ducks.
And, you know, let's add another factor. Washington State off the bye. And then you want to talk about Washington State, and you say they have a fluky offense. Well, their defense is legit this year. And while they're at home, you know, I want to go to their road games and look if they played poorly in those situations. They didn't. They blew out Wyoming after Wyoming crushed New Mexico State. They blew out Oregon State. And in the USC game, they lost 39-36, but they had an 81-yard edge. So they haven't played a bad game, and I don't expect them to this week either.
And quite honestly, I thought that, you know, Leach is doing his usual fine job at Washington State, but I thought Leach might have blown the USC game when he suddenly went conservative.
Got to score 22-12 in the second half.
And he's running the ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are you doing? That's not your game. I thought their last offensive series was just a head-scratch to me. And, you know, sometimes that happens. No, I think Washington State, there's been a lot of money showing up on Washington State. Jason Semple indicated that he thinks it's peaked at 3 and could close, you know, maybe 2, 2.5. But Oregon looks to be in a tough spot this week. We'll see how it plays out. We're going to take a break right now, and then we'll come back, and we will shift the scene to what's happening in Game 5 at Houston. The Astros trying to stay alive in Game 5 against the Red Sox.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
Joe West will be behind the plate tonight as the Astros and Red Sox. I think Joe West is... I might not be right on that.
Joe West was last night, I think.
He was behind the plate last night? No, was he?
No, you know.
He was at first base last night, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
I forgot.
Yeah, I will stand down. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I don't remember. But he'll be on the field. He will not be the main attraction, though. That'll be David Price and Justin Verlander. Game 5 for the Red Sox and Astros. Houston looking to stay alive. The Red Sox looking to reserve a spot in the 2018 World Series. Big price on the Astros here, but Ralph, you have a little bit of a stat here that might raise some eyebrows as far as the Astros' performance at home against lefties this season and what it's meant from a betting standpoint.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Astros, they're now 107-62 on the year, but at home against lefty starters, This is one of the best teams in baseball. Not only do they have a losing record at 13-17, the average price in those 30 starts, -221.
Ooh, boy.
So again, very profitable fading them. Absolutely. You're talking, you know, almost 10 units in that situation, you know, being down that much. So, you know, Price, now I only watched, I was going back and forth in the game last night, and they said, oh, Price may not go because he got up and warmed up in the bullpen.
He threw a lot of pitches in the bullpen last night.
So, you know, we'll see how that affects him. But, you know, it's a nice situation to be in. Let's go on Price with 3 days, and worst case scenario is we have Sale back at home on 5 days rest.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of schools of thought here. One is that because Price warmed up so much in the bullpen last night, maybe you'll hold him out here and go with a bullpen by committee. Just a bullpen night for the Red Sox, because they've got the 3-1 edge, and that way you could conceivably save Sale for if there's a seventh game necessary. If not, you could have him ready for game one of the World Series, but to me, you just send Price out there tonight, hope for the best, and if not, if it doesn't work out, then you got Sale for game six. You really, if you're Boston, the last thing you want to think about is a potential game seven at this point. You don't want the Astros getting back in this series. The Red Sox, look, Verlander's going to have to be sharp tonight because the Red Sox are swinging the bats. This is the team that won the most games in baseball, Ralph, and they are cooking right now offensively, and part of the reason for that is Jackie Bradley Jr. has 9 runs batted in the last 3 games. You're getting production like that out of your number 9 hitter, you got troubles beating this team.
Red Sox 11-2 to the over their last 13 games. Houston's gone over 5 straight games.
All right. What's happening at wagertalk.com?
You know, I talked about 2 weeks ago, I had one of the worst weekends I ever had at Wagertalk last week. As expected, an 8-2 bounce back week, so very happy that's occurred. I will have an NFL 5% play that'll get loaded tomorrow. If you get an all-access package, you'll be able to get that play early.
I'm going to have my biggest volume card of the year in college football.
Yeah.
So I've got a load of games already up at Wager Talk, so I would suggest the weekend pass. I do have a 5% play, but and to me, I don't know why you'd buy one play when you can get like 8 or whatever it is that I've got up there at one decent price. And you'll get all the plays for the whole weekend. I think the all-access will include everything else I put up as well. So that will include a little NHL action that I got to tonight. But I am going to talk about that right now because it's time for our play of the day.
It's the play of the day.
All I do is win, win, win. No matter
I'll take shots with minus ones here and there in the NHL when I like a good-sized favorite. I don't like laying a big price, and I'll take a shot that, you know, if it's a close game, they could still get an empty net goal and win. And that's what happened the other night with Tampa. I took Tampa, and they got the empty net goal to get a 4-2 victory the other night, and that was enough to put me over the top and get me a nice win on a minus one bet with Tampa against Carolina. The Blackhawks are at home tonight against the Arizona Coyotes, and there's an intangible here because Corey Crawford, who's been out since last season, will make his return in goal tonight for the Blackhawks. Joel Quenneville, their head coach, talked about the fact that he's looked very good in practice. He doesn't expect any rust to be out there. I think the mere fact that Crawford is back between the pipes for Chicago is a huge emotional boost for this team, and I think they're going to come out breathing fire tonight. The Coyotes are playing really good defense. Antti Raanta has been tremendous in goal. Nobody scored much against them, but the problem for the Coyotes, and the reason they've only got one win, they have 0 5-on-5 goals so far this season. They have yet to score a 5-on-5 goal, which is almost unbelievable this deep into the season. Probably a low-scoring game. Maybe I should just be on the under, but I went the minus one route here. About minus 150 on the money line, about plus 185 on the puck line. I split half unit each way, so that reduces the liability. It's a chance for a nice return. Blackhawks minus one is the play. Ralph, as always, a pleasure. We will be sticking around Lotus Broadcasting to do the Wager Talk podcast in a few minutes, and that'll be up just a little bit later on. Thanks to Ari Platinum for a great job on the board. Jason Simmel from CG Sportsbooks. Ralph Michaels from Wager Talk. I'm Dave Koch, and thanks for listening. We hope you'll keep it right here because Koch and Company is coming up next on The Sports Leader. Have a great Thursday night.